So praise God, we are glad to be here for yet another installment. This is the final installment, actually, in this particular series of DTM Transformation Hour. And we've been working our way through, or maybe it's just been working us. I know for me, some of these messages have been working on me, and I hope they are working on you too, and in a good way, that is. As we have been talking about characters in crisis. And there's no shortage of crisis going on right now in our world, is there? We have certainly the whole COVID-19 thing that is still in movement, literally, around the world. And we're dealing with that. We are hoping that things will turn around soon, that we can resume some sense of normalcy to our lives. Many have trotted out the term new normal. I know you have heard that and are familiar with it. And it means different things to different people. For some, it means that we are getting used to the unusual, getting used to what we haven't been used to, having to mask up, having to stay indoors, etc. But I'm going to challenge that. I don't want to get used to that, okay? That I believe is going to be a passing thing. Obviously, there will be some changes, and hopefully everybody's a little more hygienic as we go forward, a little more attentive to cleanliness and that kind of thing, and that's fine. But I don't want us to get into a situation where we're feeling like, you know, like we cannot any longer be together, fellowship, touch each other, hug each other, because that's just part of who we are as believers and as human beings, quite frankly. We are social creatures. We're made for interaction and engagement. And when we're unable to do that, there are literally things that happen biochemically even to us, you know. So reverse that when you do hug somebody or shake a hand or that kind of thing. Certain chemicals are released within your own body, you know, the what they call the love hormone, oxytocin, is released when you're hugging on somebody, for example. And so we're missing all of that. And so I don't want us to get into such a normal that we're like, oh yeah, well, we don't need that. You do need that. We're made for that. And I'm going to really hope, along with you, that we can return to that kind of normalcy quickly. On the other hand, things will be different and are different from here going forward. And so we've got to realize that some of the things that we were used to, some of the things that were habit for us, some of the things that were normal for us will not be part of our lives going forward. Now, here's the thing. In order to determine the difference between that which you carry forward and that which you leave behind, that which transitions with you and that which is a part of your past, you will need the discernment of Holy Spirit. Yeah, let me just drop that right in there. Good morning, Sister Kamara. You will need the discernment of Holy Spirit to know the difference. Otherwise, we have a tendency to just drop back into habit. We have a tendency to pick up where we left off. We have a tendency to just go back to business as usual. Can I tell you, I'm going to, that business as usual is not good business. Business as usual is not where Holy Spirit wants to take us. Business as usual is not going to be our practice anymore. But we're going to be looking for the new in our next that will become, I won't even say a normal, but another level of experience for us, another level of engagement for us by Holy Spirit himself. And so along those lines, most of you know, or many of you know, and if you don't know, now you know that today is Pentecost Sunday. Today is Pentecost Sunday. 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, Pentecost is the celebration of the advent of Holy Spirit at what is known as the day of Pentecost. It's 50 days after the resurrection. Jesus had told his disciples that they should go to Jerusalem, where all the calamity of his murder had just taken place, where things were still in an uproar, that they were to go there and wait for the promise of the Father and for the coming of Holy Spirit in a very pronounced and special way. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit today, but I got a couple of other things as well to throw out there in the mix. And we want to even go a step beyond, because I want us to look not only at Pentecost, the experience, Pentecost, that particular day, Pentecost, that particular event, but I want us to look also at the aftermath of that. Because sometimes, now get this, sometimes the greatest impediment to your next success is your last one. Your most recent success is sometimes the thing that has got you in a mind set and in a frame of thinking that says, oh, well, I've arrived. This is it. I'm there. I'm good. I'm golden right now. And in that moment, or in that experience, in that frame and state of mind, you can forget, number one, what God has told you already. You can forget what's coming up in your life, the things that he's promised that have not yet been revealed. You can forget that and get complacent in the last miracle that you had, complacent in the last success that you experienced. Secondly, what can happen is that you lull yourself into a state of no expectation of anything different. You're like, this is it. I've got it. I'm there. I've arrived. When I was growing up, and I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and, you know, signs and wonders and speaking in tongues and all of that kind of thing, rolling in the floor, literally, there was sometimes an air of superiority almost vis-a-vis other Christians. We got the Holy Ghost. That was the phrase. We got the Holy Ghost. Like, you know, he's like it right here in this package or in my pocket or something. I got him. I got him on lockdown, you know, because I have these experiences. I got him on lockdown. Well, of course, obviously nothing could be further from the truth. You cannot box God in. You cannot lock down the Holy Spirit. And if you think you're in charge at any given time, it's proof that you're not. So we don't want to ever get into that kind of a situation, right? Good morning, Brother Larry. Good to see you. Hope things are going well up north for you there. We want to always be in a state of mind that is fluid, that is moving, that is going forward. We are built, I've said it many times, we are built for ascension. We're designed for ascension. We're designed to go up and forward. We're not designed to just stay in place. We're not designed to just do status quo. And so as we look at the various situations going on in our lives right now, look at the state of the world, state of things here in the United States where we are, we find ourselves to be characters in crisis yet again. In fact, I was telling a dear friend of mine yesterday, a pastor friend of mine, we were talking about things that have transpired of late, in particular, the George Floyd murder, the situations in other parts of the country where police and citizen brutality against persons of color, black people in particular, has seemed to be particularly prominent and has drawn great attention from the whole country. And even those who don't want to pay attention or who want to divert the conversation elsewhere, some of those in highest places of power, for example, have had to at least do a cursory nod of the head to the fact that things are in crisis. Things are critical. And I was telling my friend yesterday that it appears to me, it seems to me that we are at a crossroads of crisis. We are at a crossroads of crisis. We have on the one hand the whole COVID-19 thing going on, which is still garnered huge attention of all of us. We're all aware. Likewise, we have a refocusing, not that it's new, unfortunately, not that it's new, but we have a refocusing on some of the mistreatment and injustice that is really prevalent throughout our society and, unfortunately, is all too easily and all too often seen in places of authority. It is ironic, if nothing else, and I'm going to get off this soapbox in a minute, but just give me a second, please. It's ironic that you would be brutalized and murdered by the very persons who are sworn to protect you. I got to say, with my brother James in the New Testament, these things ought not to be. These things ought not to be. But they are. And we find ourselves in a situation, in a crisis moment, where both danger and opportunity exist. Some have said, and I'm not a Chinese scholar, so I can't verify this, but I've heard it said fairly often by a number of persons that the character, the Chinese letter, if you will, or word for crisis, is one that is made up of two words, danger and opportunity, and is evidence of the idea, at least, that within a crisis lie the seeds of both danger and opportunity. We find ourselves as not just people of God, but as people here in these United States, living in the U.S., we find ourselves in a crisis of morality, a crisis of character, a crisis of conscience. And I believe that God has much to say about that. I believe that he has, on this day of Pentecost, come to remind us of the community that he desires to create and to see flourish, and of which we are not only to be part of as the people of God, but are to be leading out. You have an assignment. You say, well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a preacher, I'm not an apostle, prophet, etc. You are a child of God. You are a person who claims to have a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. Then you, my friend, have been deputized and authorized and assigned to share that love and to, in doing so, share this concept of community, what Dr. King called the beloved community, with the rest of the world. A part of that, of course, involves standing up against injustice. I told y'all I wasn't going to talk about this very long. I've already gone longer than I intended, but it is on everyone's mind, or many people's minds right now. And I want you to know that God is concerned. I want you to know that there are things that you can do. But I want you to understand that the things that you are going to do that will make a difference are the things that He inspires. It is still true and still a wise saying, and one worth adhering to, as we look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, my mom's favorite scripture, that if we acknowledge Him in all our ways, yes, in the midst of crisis, yes, in the midst of injustice, yes, in the midst of all kinds of craziness, in the midst of things we don't understand, in the midst of viruses, in the midst of all of this, acknowledge Him. He has promised that He will direct our paths. And so it is that promise that gives me hope in the midst of crisis. As I, along with you, find myself to be a character in crisis. So this week, we want to finish up, and I want to, again, return to the New Testament. We looked at a number of New Testament references last week. If you missed any of that, please feel free to go back on this very Facebook page and check out last week's broadcast. Now, you might want to skip to about 8 minutes in, because I ramble for a little bit on the front end of it. Sorry. But the rest of it was good, if I must say so myself. Likewise, remember that you can always go to deliverancetemple.org, our website, our church website, and you can listen to audio from everything we've been doing the last 8 or 10 weeks is there. On your phones, you got to scroll down past the articles. On your PC or tablet, it's going to be right there on the right-hand side of the screen. And then you can listen to Wednesday nights. You can listen to Sunday mornings, the conference call, which is coming up again this morning at 11 o'clock. And you can listen to previous Transformation Hours. This is number 5 in this series, and the final installment in this series, Characters in Crisis. So, after the resurrection of Jesus, He appeared to His disciples and others for a number of days, some 40 days or so that He was around, and kind of tidying up things a bit, as it were, helping the disciples understand what had transpired. And He told them, and I'm going here to the first chapter of the book of Acts is where we're going to be today for a little bit. And maybe we'll go on a little further in Acts as well. He told them that they, let's go to verse number 4. This is Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Reading from the New American Standard Version of the Bible, my personal preference, but you use whatever you like, okay? And gathering them together, He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. I'm just going to pause on purpose right there. You're in the midst of some craziness. They done killed your leader. They know you were associated with Him. This is maybe not the safest place to be right now. But He tells them that that's exactly where they need to be right now. I'm just going to let that sink in. Sometimes the place where you least want to be, the place where you feel the least safe, is exactly where He needs you to be for the thing that He wants to do in you and through you next. Which He said, you have heard of Me. Verse 5, for John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 6. And so when he had when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom of Israel? That's one of those facepalm moments. It's like, okay, boys, have you heard anything I've said the last 40 days? Did you miss the whole? Okay. Verse 7, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. Can I just say right there, some things God reserves for himself. Some things you don't need to concern yourself with. Some things you really don't need to worry about. But it would be a real good idea for you to do the thing he told you to do. Just do that. Okay? When you're tripping on, well, what's going to happen? Well, what's going to go on? They're rioting in Nixa, and Ozark is on fire. What? Hold on. What did he tell you to do? Are you doing that? Where did he tell you to be? Are you there? Are you wondering about something across the country somewhere that you have absolutely no control over at all? Don't really even know the facts of what's happening, but you're trying to be all up in it. Okay, I'm gonna say this real quick and I'm gonna keep moving. I told y'all last week that I'm not against your watching the news. Not against it at all. What I'm against is you watching the news so much. Can I suggest to you that maybe if you limited yourself, I'm going to be generous. If you limited yourself to, say, an hour a day of news, you probably got way more than you need already there. But for some, between the actual news broadcast and the special reports and the behind the scenes and the live on site, you are spending entirely too much time. And time is something that you've only got so much of. If God has told you, be here, do this, and you're over there doing that, time's still ticking. And you're about to miss out on your next. You're about to find yourself in deeper crisis than you're already in because you have not adhered to the instruction that he gave you already. Verse 8, but you shall receive power. I felt a little Benny Hinn moment there. Power! Right there. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. That's what the power is for, by the way. The power is not just to, you know, miraculously cure ingrown toenails, although that'd be great. The power is to be witnesses of Jesus, both in Jerusalem, that's where you are right now, he says, and in all Judea, branching out a little further, and in Samaria, foreign territory, but a little further out, and even to the remotest part of the earth. That's what the power is for. That's what the power is for, is to be witnesses of Jesus, witnesses to him. Witnesses to who he is, witnesses to what he has done, witnesses of Jesus. That's what the power is for. When signs and wonders are going on, when healings are taking place and deliverance and finances are being adjusted upwards and that kind of thing, it's not just for our own personal enjoyment, although, praise God, we do enjoy that. It is that the whole world would understand who Jesus is. And by that understanding, understand too that he invites them into this community of believers, into this community of those who understand who he is and are coming to understand even more so each and every day who he is, how much God loves them and has demonstrated that love for them through Jesus. I hope this is making some kind of sense to somebody. Thank you, Sister Hale. Thank you, Minister Rogers. Thank you, Sister Beth. Thank you, Sister Libby. Yeah. Just let me know if it's making some sense to you. So y'all know the story. he ascends on up into heaven there. And they returned then, verse 12, to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, that is, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These were all with one mind. I want y'all to note that in verse 14. These were all with one mind, continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They weren't just hanging out for this interim period, this 10-day interim period, just, you know, twiddling their thumbs. They were seeking God. They were making themselves available to God. They were worshiping God. Can I tell you that when you are in a situation and you're not sure exactly what to do next, what's going on? Number one, do the last thing he told you. Number two, while you're in that place of doing the last thing he told you, keep your antenna up. Keep praising God, worshiping God, praying. Keep attentive to the Spirit of God, because he's about to do everything he promised if you are in position to receive it. That's a word right there for somebody. If you are in position to receive it. Listen, if I told you that tomorrow at noon they're giving out, $1,000 for every person that shows up on the corner of Glenstone and Chestnut, but tomorrow at noon you're off in, you know, Republic or Stratford or somewhere, you're not going to get the money. Can I just, is that clear? I mean, is that plain? You're just not going to get the money because you're not in position to receive it. You're not in the place designated for the blessing. Can I tell you that in the midst of the crisis situations that we are experiencing right now, you need to be in a position to receive what God has for you. And that position is a position of prayer, that is a position of worship, that is a position of meditation, that is a position of attention to his word, that is not a position of watching the news 24 hours a day. You say, well, Brother Mark, that's an exaggeration. Nobody watches the news 24 hours a day. Really? I know people who leave the news channel on all night for fear they may miss something. News stories showing up in their dreams. They get up in a funk. They get up aggravated and agitated. Why? Look what they've been feeding their very souls all night. Even their subconscious minds. Feeding on this craziness. Well, I need to be informed. Here's what you need to be informed about. What has God told you to do? Are you in position to receive what he's wanting to do for you, in you, and through you next? And are you in a posture of mind and heart to receive? I'm going to let that sit there for a second. Are you attending to everything else in the world including stuff you can't do nothing about. I know that's not good English, but you understand what I'm saying, don't you? You can't do nothing about it. Plus, you're ignoring what he told you to do. You're ignoring where he told you to be, and you have gotten yourself out of position spiritually to receive the answers that you need, the direction that you need, the power that you need for what's coming next. Listen, I'm telling you, there are some after these things that are coming up. I want to be one of those people who is in position. I want to be one of those people who is ready and available for God to do in me and through me what he wants to do after these things. No, there's nothing wrong with your audio. I'm just being quiet for a minute. I'm letting that sink in. It's easy to get out of position when we are filling our heads and our minds with everything that's going on. I understand. That's why I named this series Characters in Crisis. I understand that we're in crisis. I understand we're experiencing unprecedented situations and unprecedented times. I get that. I also get that it can knock you off your square, as my wife says. It can put you off kilter and out of alignment. Can I tell you this as well? This is just another little quick aside, but I think it's going to be helpful to somebody. That when you are in that off-kilter, out-of-alignment position, you are fair game for somebody else's agenda. Yeah. You are wide open for somebody else's agenda. You are wide open for somebody else's emotional tirade to happen in your life. You're wide open to just sign up with the group, sign up with the crowd, whatever everybody else is doing. That's what I'm going to do. Wave the flag. I'm in the parade. Let's go. Hear me very clearly. I'm not saying that God has not called folks to protest. I'm not saying that God hasn't called folks to stand up against injustice. He certainly has called folks to stand up against injustice. He's been doing that a long time. He is the God of righteousness and justice. What I am telling you, though, is that unless you are in sync with him and following his leading and his instruction, you will not have the power to be effective in that which you are trying to do and want to see accomplished. You will find yourself, in fact, sidelined, maybe run over in the throng of the crowd, rather than standing up in power and declaring, this is the direction God says to go. This is the answer. And when you stand up in truth and the power of Holy Spirit and the anointing of God, it will make all the difference. It will carry the weight that is necessary to make the transformation that God wants to bring about. The thing you couldn't do by yourself. Can I tell you that the grace of God is not just his unmerited favor, it is that. But the grace of God upon your life is the power to do that which you cannot possibly do on your own. You need his power. You need his anointing. You need his direction. You need his timing. Some things we're called to do, but not right now. Some things you must wait for the appointed time. Have you ever Have you ever said something that it might have been true, but you said it at the wrong time? You said it in a situation where you should have just been quiet. It was true, but it was real bad timing. And everybody said, "What? I know she didn't just what?" And y'all all know it's true, but still, it's like, what? Got people clutching their pearls. Timing is important. And so here, the people of God were waiting for the appointed time, waiting in one accord, waiting with one mind. I want to jump to chapter 2, verse 1. You all know this one. This is the day we're celebrating, right? Verse 1, chapter 2, Acts. "And when the day of Pentecost had come," when 50 days from the resurrection had expired, "when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting." Let me stop right there for a quick second and tell you that we're in a situation right now that in many ways is antithetical. That is to say, opposite what we're celebrating here today on this day of Pentecost. I read an article the other day in Sojourner Magazine, and I posted it to Facebook. Some of you perhaps have read that article as well, where the brother happened to be a Caucasian fellow was talking about how that the murder of Mr. Floyd was indeed kind of an anti-Pentecost moment. We celebrate on Pentecost the advent of Holy Spirit, His breath, the breath of God blowing up on those who were waiting, those who were in position to receive. The breath of God blowing upon them, filling them. The breath of God giving them new life, giving them new power. The breath of God bringing newness of vision and insight. The breath of God transforming a community. Juxtapose that with a situation where one of God's creatures, one made in His image and likeness, suffering at the hands of others, having the breath of God, having the life literally choked out of him. The antithesis, the irony of it is striking. And so just for a moment here on Pentecost Sunday, I want you to think along with me what it would be like if we allowed for not only ourselves, but for the people around us, if we allowed the breath of God to blow freshly upon us, if we allowed the breath of God to fill our being, if we allowed the breath of God to inspire and transform our view. Breathe on me, O God. Breathe on me, O God. Yes, Pastor. Breathe on us. Breathe in us. Breathe as us on this day of Pentecost and transform this moment of crisis into a moment of opportunity, into a moment of the expression of your kingdom, into a moment of the expression of your love, into a moment of the expression of your power. I'd love to stay there, but I got to move on. I got a couple of more points to make real quick, and I'm going to let you go. On that day, inspired and filled with the presence of God, filled with the very breath of God. All of Jerusalem was turned upside down. Folks were there for various devotional reasons in Jerusalem. And so there were people from all kinds of countries, all kinds of tongues being spoken, all kinds of languages, that is. And in the midst of that, we have this situation where the Spirit of God filling those in the upper room, they came out onto the streets and were speaking in languages that they had not learned. People were marveling because they were hearing the praises of God. By the way, that's what they were uttering. The praises of God in languages that they were familiar with, but that they know these people were never trained in. Can I tell you right now? Wow. Can I tell you right now that in the midst of COVID-19, in the midst of injustice and cruelty and brutality, in the midst of that, there is a language that God wants to speak through you. It is a language of power. It is a language that draws attention to the God that we serve. It is a language that draws attention to His presence and His activity in the earth. It is a language that He desires to be spoken by each and every one of us. I'm not just talking about praying in tongues. That's great. That's wonderful. But hear what I'm saying clearly, that in this moment of crisis, in this situation or set of situations in which we find ourselves presently, God desires to speak through you, to speak through us to a world in crisis, and to draw their attention to Himself and to the love that He has for them and to the power that makes for transformation. God is the only answer. His way is the only way out of the situations in which we find ourselves. I know y'all waiting for a scientific cure, and some of you waiting for a vaccine, and some of you said, I ain't taking a vaccine even if they do make it because I don't trust them. I get all that. Can I tell you that science, while good, is slow? Eventually, it'll go away, or we'll find a vaccine discovery, whatever happened. But I want you to understand that that's not even the main thing here. The main thing is to take this opportunity to reposition yourself for what God wants to do. I believe firmly that this day, today, this day of Pentecost, this 31st day of May 2020, will be a day that is a defining moment, that after these things, time itself will begin to move a little differently for you. Your awareness, if you will allow it, your awareness of God and His direction for you will be different if you will receive today what He wants to do. Listen, timing is important to God. Timing is important to God, not because He can't do whatever, whenever, but because we're so aware of time. We're so tied to clocks and seasons and calendars and what have you. And I'm drawing your attention to this day of Pentecost, in which we presently are, and this time of Pentecost, in which we presently are, because the answers that the world need are only to be found in the power of God, in the love of God, in the presence of God. And that as you breathe in that very presence, and as you are moving in the inspiration of that very presence, you will be a transformative force within your family, within your neighborhood, within your city, you will be a transformative force in this time of crisis. You will bring peace and deliverance. You will be agents of deliverance and of blessing. And people will marvel. Not at you, but of the God you serve, of the God whose presence you carry. We're glory carriers. And this is the time for transformation, not only of us, but of that which is around us. It is time. It is time. Let me make this last point as we're closing. Last 2 points. Okay. One, as we look on in chapter 2 of Acts, we see Peter get up and give his very famous sermon there, and calling folks to repentance, calling them into order, explaining what's going on, explaining that what you're experiencing right now has been foretold. It's already been prophesied that what's going on right now is the fulfillment of the plan of God. And some 3,000 souls were added, as it were, to this brand new thing called the church. Some have said the church was actually born on the day of Pentecost. And immediately it had a congregation of believers, people who were convinced, okay, these guys know what they're talking about. These guys have been with Jesus. Which is one of the things that was said about the disciples in the book of Acts. These guys have obviously been with Jesus. There's something different about them. But can I tell you that with all the miracles that happen, with all the powerful things that happen in the next few chapters of the account, Luke's account here in Acts, that when we get all the way over to chapter 8 or so, what we find is, or even 7, what we find is that in many ways, the church had become complacent. Okay, yeah, I got to end on this one because this one, I'm going to have to run after this one so nobody, you know, throws stones at me. The church had become somewhat complacent in its power, somewhat complacent in its privilege, somewhat complacent in its position. And so God had to allow a stirring. This particular stirring came in the form of persecution. This particular stirring came in the form of opposition. And all of a sudden, it wasn't a popular thing or even a safe thing to be a follower of Jesus. Can I tell you that in the midst of that crisis that began to take place, folks like Saul of Tarsus, that we read about in chapter 8, going about persecuting the church, persecuting followers of Jesus, seeking authority to kill them, in fact. We see the stoning of Stephen in chapter 7, put to death brutally, brutally. I can only imagine what being stoned is like, and the brutal and painful death that entails. And that's how he was murdered, along with others. Can I tell you that it was because of this persecution, because of this new set of crises that came upon the church, that the church was forced to scatter. They were forced to do what Jesus had instructed them to do in the first place. Where? Let me flip back over to chapter 1 and verse number 8. He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Oh, you mean right here in Jerusalem? No, 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 no. You shall be my witnesses, yes, in Jerusalem, but also in all of Judea, in all of Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Okay, Lord, that's good and all, and I really appreciate the power. I love speaking in tongues and rolling in the floor. I love shouting and praising God. It's wonderful. That's all good. But can I just do it here? Can I just do it right here? Now listen, some of y'all, like Pastor Carol, you haven't been able to go anywhere for 10 weeks. Maybe 11 now. I don't even know. I've lost track. But there is coming a time. I do not want you for one moment to think that your whole assignment is what you have already known. That's the point I want to make right there. That's it. I don't want you to think for one moment that your whole assignment is about what you have already known up to now. It has been prophesied. It has been foretold. Jesus said, I want you to be my witnesses. Jerusalem, that's home turf. Judea, a little further out. Samaria, foreign folk. Oppositional folk, folk that don't think like me, and to the remotest parts of the earth, where you're going to run into all kinds of thinking, all kinds of ideologies, all kinds of stuff. But that's exactly where he wants us. That's what the power is for. That's what the power is for. The power is not to stay home and lay hands on myself. The power is for out there. The power is for the transformation of your community. The power is for the transformation of the world around you. The power is for the knowledge of the glory of God to cover the whole earth like the waters cover the sea. The prophet tells us in the Old Testament. That's what the power is actually for. That's what the power is actually for. How else are we going to transform our communities? How else are we going to transform the lives of folks who right now hate you because of who you are, hate you because of what you look like, are afraid of you because of what they heard, how they were raised, what somebody told them, are afraid of you because, Lord Jesus, I'm going to leave that alone. I'm not even going to go there. Who are you afraid of? I'm trying to quit now because I'm about out of time. Y'all ain't praying, are you? Who are you afraid of? Who are you afraid of? Can God breathe on you today? Can God fill you with power to witness for him to that person? Can God fill you so with his love and with his anointing that you're not afraid to go anywhere, be his witness before anybody, in any situation, crisis or not, to bring peace, to bring righteousness, to bring joy to the situation? I'm gonna let you think about that one. I'm gonna let you think about that one. Ha! Sister Beth said things that make you go, Yeah. Think about it. We're not going to stay in this particular crisis forever. But I want you to understand, crisis is nothing for us to run from. Crisis is a time for us to press into God. Crisis is a time for us to seek God. Crisis is a time for us to be endued with the power of God that transforms us and the environment around us for His glory. I hope that you have learned something. I hope you've been inspired. I hope you've been challenged this 5 weeks of May 2020. As we've looked at characters in crisis, you may find yourself to be a character in crisis today, but you're not going to stay that way. He's about to transform you and everything around you by His power. Receive His power today on this Pentecost Sunday, so that you can be fully prepared for the after these things that's coming. And we'll be those who continue to give God glory, praise, and walk in His footsteps and His instruction right on into the grace that He has apportioned for us. Amen? Amen.